From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Tuesday, January 13th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. The Charlotte City Council Monday night unanimously voted to spend $4.3 million to help get the Metropolitan Public Transportation Authority up and running. Steve Harrison has this report.
The authority was created after Mecklenburg County voters in November approved a 1 percentage point increase in the sales tax to fund a multi-billion dollar transportation plan. The employees, buses, and trains of the city-run Charlotte area transit system will be transferred to the authority later this year. The $4.3 million will pay for consultants, attorneys, and basic administrative expenses through the summer. City Councilmember Ed Drigg said the MPTA needs a boost.
And I think it's pretty clear we've got to get some money into this organization. At their first meeting, they kind of sat there. They didn't have a dime, right? They didn't have a bank account. They need our help initially to transact and to gradually inflate this thing and build it up.
The tax increase goes into effect in July. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
The family of a Charlotte man killed by a drunk driver in 2024 says they're grateful after the accused driver received a stiffer sentence in court than what was initially offered through a plea deal. Kenneth Lee has more.
The Staten family had a moment of relief after Edwin Bellerin was given the maximum sentence of up to 3 years in prison in relation to the drunk driving death that killed Lee Staten in 2024. Bellerin was charged with involuntary manslaughter and driving while impaired. He had previously been offered a plea deal with a 30-day suspended sentence, which the family objected to. During last week's sentencing, Lee's daughter, Ebony Staten, said the judge was willing to listen to the family. Staten said standing up and being a voice for a victim was hard.
However, when it comes to my dad, you know, we had to fight. And so I tell everyone, keep fighting. Don't let them, I don't know how to say this, but don't let them bully you into something that you don't agree with.
Staten's family spent the last year and a half speaking with community members and gathering over 2,000 signatures to push for a stronger penalty. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster is calling on his state to offer free breakfast to all public school students. McMaster made the request Monday while presenting his proposed budget for the upcoming fiscal year.
Research studies have documented that children who eat breakfast daily are better prepared to learn in the classroom. Eating breakfast, which I believe, and others as well, believe that breakfast is the most important meal of the day for a young person.
McMaster also said he'd support a universal free lunch program in the future. He's also calling on lawmakers to raise teacher and law enforcement pay, devote millions of dollars toward land conservation, fund a new cancer research institute at the Medical University of South Carolina, and add more than $1 billion for road construction. Mecklenburg County health officials say there are signs that the measles outbreak in Spartanburg, South Carolina, has spread into Mecklenburg County. Traces of the virus have been found in samples taken from the Sugar Creek wastewater treatment plant, suggesting that some residents have been infected. Mecklenburg County Health Director Raynard Washington is strongly urging parents to have their children vaccinated, saying it's the best line of defense. As of Friday, there were 5 confirmed cases in western North Carolina, while South Carolina had more than 300 cases. The county is offering free or low-cost walk-in vaccines to residents at the county's public health immunization clinics. Airline passengers who don't have a real ID or passport will have to pay a $45 fine beginning February 1st. Paul Tyne is the commissioner of the North Carolina Division of Motor Vehicles.
For those who don't yet have a real ID, the easiest way to avoid the new verification process and fee is to get one before your next flight. It's straightforward. We've made it more convenient than ever.
The team in charge of mapping landslide hazards in North Carolina is working to make its mapping more useful in future emergencies. Adam Wagner reports.
The North Carolina Geological Survey responded to almost 500 landslides in western North Carolina after Helene. That's about 150 more than it responded to over the 23 preceding years. David Cordy, who leads the survey's landslide hazard mapping program, told a Helene Recovery Advisory Committee Friday that those slides killed 31 people. Cordy says his team knows that 5 inches of rainfall are enough to trigger a slide. But the current maps only show where risk exists. they aren't dynamic enough for emergency managers to use effectively during disasters. Cordy says they're trying to change that.
We're moving to more towards a resilience focus now, and we'll be producing products that reduce false positives in the maps, which will allow emergency management to focus resources and improve responses to landslide scenarios.
When the landslide hazard mapping is updated, Cordy says, it will use national precipitation forecasts and localized soil moisture readings. Those would allow his team to tell emergency officials where landslide risk is elevated a day or two before a storm arrives. Adam Wagner, North Carolina Newsroom, Capital Bureau.
2026 could see the opening of two outdoor venues in areas of western North Carolina that were devastated by floodwaters during Hurricane Helene. Blue Ridge Public Radio's Felicia Sanmez reports.
The first project is being spearheaded by the owners of the Orange Peel Music Club. They plan to build a new 6,000-capacity outdoor concert venue on Thompson Street along the Swannanoa River. Liz Talent, one of the co-owners, says the venue's stage will be a flow-through structure that's resilient to floodwaters, while much of the remaining infrastructure can be moved off-site if flooding is forecast.
We think that in order to bring life and new economic development to this part of Asheville, which was so devastated, these kinds of outdoor-centric uses are kind of the only smart way to redevelop.
Meanwhile, in the community of Swannanoa, a multi-purpose outdoor facility called Beacon Park is in the works. The project will include a bike park, outdoor bouldering walls, an event lawn, and a one-mile walking loop. Casey Watkins, one of the project's founders, says his group has partnered with the nonprofit Riverlink to better manage stormwater in the area.
We really see this park not just as a community park, but as a recovery engine for our community that will continue to be able to pump out really cool things for projects that are happening in Swannanoa.
Both soft openings are expected in the spring or summer of this year. In Asheville, I'm Felicia Sanmez.
A prominent Charlotte festival that coincides with Juneteenth, a holiday celebrating the emancipation of enslaved people in the United States, has been suspended this year. Elvis Meneyese has more.
The annual Durag Festival started in 2018 and celebrates Black fashion, artists, and music. The group behind the festival says it's been put on pause. Organizers said in a statement that the decision is tied to, quote, circumstances outside of our control. The statement also said that the decision was not made lightly. Thousands have attended the festival in recent years. It's considered one of the largest celebrations of Black culture in Charlotte. Elvis Meneyese, WFA News.
And weeks after settling a contentious lawsuit over the sport's finances, NASCAR unveiled a new format Monday for its season-ending playoff battle. The new system will be similar to the former so-called Chase system, with 16 drivers vying for the championship, but without eliminations after every three races, nor the winner-takes-all system in the final race. NASCAR President Steve O'Donnell said during Monday's announcement, it's a compromise.
We don't expect this to be the magic wand we wave from a NASCAR standpoint and say everything's now great. We've got a lot of work to do from our standpoint, relationships in the garage, getting back to those, but getting back to who we are. And that's hardcore racing and chase it. People having fun. We work in a pretty damn good industry, and we need to have some fun.
The new system resets the field after the first 26 races with advantages for those who have performed better. It also adds more points for winning. And for Tuesday, January 13th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.